We're continuing our study of the Gospel according to Luke, and we are in chapter 9. Nope, we're in chapter 7. It's hard to get old. Let me just tell you. We're in chapter 7. That looks like a 9 if you're old and you don't have your glasses on. Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 36. Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 36, this is God's word. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. One of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. Did Jesus know what that Pharisee's attitude was? Yes. Just like he knew what kind of woman this was. Just like he knew what the Pharisee was thinking when he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet," etc. And Jesus answered him. I love that. He's thinking and Jesus answers. Because Jesus knows. And I want to remind you of something we've said before. He knows what's going on right now in your life. He knows what's going on in your mind and in your heart. He knows what's going on in your future. He knows. Jesus, knowing as he did about what was in people's hearts, when he was invited to the Pharisee's house, he went. I love that. Jesus could have said to the Pharisee, "No, you are not inviting me to your home because you respect me, because you love me, because you want to learn from me. You're inviting me to your house because I've been doing all these miracles and you're curious. You want to see more. You want to know more." Over the years, I've had the privilege of dining with all sorts of people. I've taken people who were homeless and hungry to get a meal, and I've been privileged to dine with people at the other end of the spectrum who are exceedingly wealthy, accomplished, well-known, etc. And let me just tell you something. Jesus knows everything about everybody. And no matter who you're with, while you're sitting there assessing them, God's looking at what's going on in you. Be careful what your attitude is toward others. Because this Pharisee didn't feel in any way that he was on trial. He thought Jesus was. He thought he's bringing Jesus to his home to assess Jesus. But what's being revealed is who he is. So one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. Jesus will show up. And when a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair and kissed them and poured perfume on them. This is very hard for us to wrap our minds around because this is not the way we do dinner. We don't recline at the table. That's just not our culture. Adults are not supposed to be reclining at table in our culture. Little kids in our culture who try to recline at table are told, sit up. Right? But Jesus was doing exactly what was culturally appropriate in this setting. He's reclining at table, and this woman comes up behind him and is leaning over and weeping, and her tears begin to wet Jesus' feet. Now, not only was it customary to recline at the table when you were enjoying a meal, they were not into fast food. They were into nice, leisurely meals. And not only was it customary to recline at the table, but it was customary that if you invite somebody to your home, you take care of them. Starting when they walk in the door. If you were in a position to have servants, the lowest, and most people were, the lowest servant on the ladder was the person who washed feet. That was not a task everybody was eager to do. That was something that the lowest servant did. The lowest ranking servant did that. If you didn't have somebody to wash the feet of your guest, the very least you could do is to provide your guest with some water to wash their own feet. That would not be a very good welcome, but it would be the bare minimum of hospitality. It would also be customary when you're welcoming someone to give them a kiss. Now, that's awkward in our culture. I have tried at times to follow that biblical injunction because we are repeatedly encouraged in the New Testament epistles to greet one another with a kiss. And that goes totally against my nature, totally against my upbringing, but I try on occasion to do that if I'm not going to freak the other person out. I remember when our dear friend Rick Elstein, a Jewish believer from Long Island, was coming into our home, or I guess he was about to leave, and I went to give him a kiss goodbye, and of course this is a kiss on the cheek, and Rick's taller than I am, and he was coming in for a hug, and I ended up kissing him on the neck, and it was just extremely awkward for both of us. And I said, I'm sorry. He was like, no, I'm sorry. And anyway, in this culture, now let me tell you, when I was in Ukraine, I was kissed by more men with stubble who hadn't showered in ages than you can imagine. But all these pastors at the conference I'd done wanted to thank me personally, and they all came to kiss me on each cheek, and it was just really precious. But in this culture, that was standard. What would be awkward and surprising in this culture is not to greet somebody with a kiss. When Judas was coming to betray Jesus in the garden, he kissed him. Because that's what everybody did. And of course, in his case, it was totally phony. It was a kiss of betrayal. And Jesus knew it. But in this case, not only was there no water to wash the feet, not only was there no customary greeting with a kiss, not only was there no oil to put on your hair, because that was customary, none of the customary welcome was extended to Jesus who'd been invited to the Pharisee's house. Do you understand that? So the man says, would you come and eat with me? Jesus says, yes. And then the guy stiffs him. Doesn't treat him like a guest. It's just, okay. Now this woman had heard that Jesus was going to eat with him because this was an opportunity in the town. Jesus was a celebrity. Jesus has been doing all kinds of miracles. Word is spread all over the place. And so this famous man who's doing these amazing things is going to be at this guy's house. And there's time for the word to spread. And this woman hears the word and she shows up. Doesn't say she was invited. She just came. She shows up. And people know who she is. Because she hadn't just sinned. We've all sinned. She had lived a sinful life in that town. Some people go off and do bad stuff elsewhere and hope that word doesn't get back to the folks back home. This woman had lived a sinful life in that town. People knew her. They knew what she did. They knew that she was bad news. But she learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, and so she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. This is a very expensive perfume in a very expensive container. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and then wipe them with her hair, and she kissed them and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, not said to the person next to him. He said within himself. You ever do that? Do you ever talk to yourself silently? You ever do that? Yeah. That's what this guy was doing. He said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him. And what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. This guy clearly had a very low opinion of her and a very high opinion of himself. He didn't see himself as a sinner. He was a good person. He was a Pharisee, for goodness sake. They were the most strict people. They were not the priests. They were the lay people who engaged in tons and tons of rigorous observance of the law. Not just the law of God, the laws that had grown up among men to try and build a fence around the law of God. And by the way, though Jesus would often rebuke them saying, the reason you make this mistake is you don't know the scriptures. Haven't you read this? These guys had memorized large quantities of scripture, but it's like memorizing 1 Corinthians 13, which is all about love and not being a loving person. You understand? One of the people who I am told early in his life memorized a lot of scripture was Joseph Stalin. Monster. Mass murderer. Ruler of Russia. Horrible guy. But early in his life, memorized a lot of scripture. We've had students here at the ranch who memorized chapter after chapter after chapter and then went out and demonstrated that they did not put it into practice. This guy says she's a sinner. And if Jesus were really a prophet, he'd know that. But he said it to himself. Jesus answered him. Jesus answered him. Jesus could have just gotten up and left, but he didn't. He spoke to this man who was so self-righteous. Simon, I have something to tell you. Oh, tell me, teacher. Rabbi, I'm just eager to learn. Totally phony. Tell me, teacher, he said. And so Jesus said there were two men who owed money to a moneylender. And one of them owed 10 times as much as the other. But neither one could pay their debt. So the moneylender canceled the debt of both. Now, which one will love the man more? I want you to notice something. Although both owed money, one had a much bigger debt than the other, and yet neither could repay what they owed. What do we owe? Our lives. The wages of sin is death. The debt that we have incurred before a holy God is that we deserve to spend forever in hell. How are you going to pay that off? What are you going to offer in exchange? What can a person offer in exchange for their life? Money won't do it. Effort won't do it. Good works won't do it. There is no way that you and I can repay what we owe. We are still receiving from God every time we breathe. We owe Him everything, and if we get something to try and bring to God to repay the debt, it's folly because everything is His creation. He owns it all. The cattle on 1,000 hills are His. Everything is His. The sun, the moon, the stars. It's all His. The planet belongs to Him. So what are you going to give God? Well, I'll give you some of my time. You get your time from Him. Neither one could repay the debt. And so the one to whom they owed canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love Him more? Simon. Simon says, well, I suppose the one who owed more, who had the larger amount canceled. Jesus said, good guess. You have judged correctly. And then He turned toward the woman, but He's still speaking to Simon. He's looking at her, but He says to Simon, do you see this woman? You see, Simon's like, he ought to know who this is. And Jesus is like, do you really see her? Do you see this woman? What do you see when you look at another person? Do you look at them with contempt? You despise them. You look down on them because they're not your status. Jesus said, I came into your house and you didn't give me any water for my feet. But she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume, more valuable, much more valuable. She has poured perfume, not on my head, but on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. Now, where did the subject of her many sins come up? It came up in Simon's mind. Simon hadn't said that. He just thought it. Jesus knew what he thought, and now Jesus says it. Has this woman sinned? Yes, a lot. Is sin bad? Yes, very. Jesus knows better than anybody how bad sin is, because he's going to die for us. He's going to take the punishment we deserve for our sins. He knows that it's bad. He knows that the penalty is death. Her sins, her many sins, have been forgiven. For she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little, loves little. Was Jesus saying that because she loved God, God would forgive her sins? No. Jesus is saying that because God loved her, God forgave her sins, and the result was she loved God. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. We don't earn God's salvation by loving him. We love him because he saves us. He changes our heart. He doesn't just forgive us. He changes our heart so that we love him. That's his doing. He takes the blinders off our eyes. He gives us a heart of flesh where once we had a heart of stone. He changes us on the inside. She's been forgiven. Her sins have been forgiven. You know how you can tell? She loved much. When did the man whose debt was forgiven love the moneylender? When he had the debt? No. When his debt was forgiven. If you do not love God, it ought to concern you deeply. Because the one who's been forgiven is grateful. But there are tons of people who've never really acknowledged the depths of their own sin, how seriously they've grieved the heart of God and just horribly, horribly messed up. They're still trying to justify. Well, you know, it's not so bad. I'm not as bad as that person over there. That's what this Pharisee was like. This woman could come into his home and make him feel better about himself. Because we've all messed up, but not like her. Boy, she's bad. And that makes me feel that I'm not so bad. Well, you're dead wrong. You're dead wrong. When we recognize our own sin, we cry out like Isaiah, woe is me, I am undone. For I am a man of unclean lips and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. Yeah, I dwell among a people of unclean lips, but oh God, have mercy on me. Because I've messed up. I've done wrong. Then Jesus said to her, All that before, that paragraph before, Jesus is talking to Simon. Now he speaks to her. He says, your sins are forgiven. He had already told Simon that her sins were forgiven, but he wants her to hear it from him. Your sins are forgiven. Well, when the other people at the meal heard this, they're in shock. This is now the second time this has come up where Jesus is saying to somebody, your sins are forgiven. Only God can forgive sins. Remember the guy who was lowered down through the roof? And Jesus said to him, your sins are forgiven. And people are like, he can't do that. Only God can forgive sins. Yes. So take a clue. You're in the presence of Almighty God. God is sitting there at the table in Simon's home, and Simon is feeling like he is the righteous one. Jesus said, do you see her? Simon didn't even see Jesus. Not really perceive, not really recognize, not really understand. And the people didn't either. They're trying to decide what kind of prophet he is. Is he really a prophet? Is he genuine? Is this real? Are these miracles real? The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Wow. She has not just been forgiven, she has been saved. And it has to do with the fact that she had faith. So I guess apparently how much faith we have is what saves us. No. We receive God's grace, which saves us, by faith. Faith is the means whereby we receive God's grace. And that, according to Ephesians 2, is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works. You don't work it up. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. You believe what God says. But it's not how much faith we have, it's what our faith is placed in. Jesus said, if you have faith that's as much as a mustard seed, okay? How big is a mustard seed? Well, do you know what a poppy seed is? It's a little smaller than that. Okay. We're talking a tiny little thing. Jesus says, if you just have a speck of faith, but it's faith in him, miracles can happen. So the question is not, how much faith do you have? The question is, who are you believing in? Who are you trusting? Suppose I had enormous faith, I mean just tremendous faith, that I could fly. Okay? I used to sing it for you guys. I believe I can fly. That used to be a popular song. Ridiculous. But, you know, if I just believe, I have to push all the doubts away and just believe. I just believe I can fly. Is that going to get me airborne? Well, if I jump off a tall building, I'd be airborne until I hit the ground. But the landing is what kills you. Right? It's not how much you believe. It's whether or not what you believe is true. And this woman believed in Jesus. She didn't have a book on theology that she could study and learn. But she had seen what Jesus had done for others. And she put her faith in Him. And she believed that He would receive her, not because she was good, but because He is good. And she believed that He was worthy of worship. And so she humbled herself in a very dramatic way that was off-putting to Simon the Pharisee. And I'll tell you the truth, it would have been off-putting to me. I mean, what's she doing? That's not the way you wash somebody's feet. Get a basin, man. Get a towel. She didn't. She used her tears. She's weeping and weeping and weeping. She uses her hair. She's kissing His feet. It's remarkable. The self-abasing things that people will do that are sinful. People engage in all kinds of sinful behavior that is just gross. It's bad. But then when it comes to the worship of God, they want to not be too demonstrative. You know, let's keep it dignified. I mean, after all, we're sophisticated people. Years ago, a pastor friend was suggesting to me that he thinks it's fine for, you know, some people to be sort of emotional in church and, you know, raising their hands in the air like the Bible tells us God wants us to do. You know, that's okay for people who want to do that. That's just their personality. They're very effusive, emotional, you know, that's just, that comes naturally to them. But, you know, in my church, he said, our people are more reserved and sophisticated than that. And I said, I don't buy that. And he said, what do you mean? I said, because I've seen your people at a ball game. Understand? I've seen them at the ball game. And at the ball game, they're not sitting there going like this. Hooray. Bravo. Well done. Wasn't that grand? That's not what they do. At the ball game, where they really care about what they're looking at, they are so excited, they're hoarse the next day at church. But then when we talk about the fact that we deserved hell, and Jesus came and took our punishment, and now, because of God's grace, we can have life with Him forever. There are some people who just are deeply troubled by the idea that God would let anybody spend forever in hell. That is not hard for me to understand. What is hard for me to understand is why the Lord would want some of us to spend forever at His house. Forever. Forever. He must really love us. He does. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. If you are trusting in Him, then according to His Word, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Does that make you moderately pleased? Or does that make you overflowingly joyful? Are you amazed by the grace of God? Do you really mean it when you sing Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. What could someone give to you that would be comparable to eternal life? $1,000? $10,000? $100,000? $1 million? $10 million? $100 million? How about $1 billion? How about $1 trillion? How about more money than you could ever spend in this life? Would that compare to eternal life? No way. Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? This woman had been forgiven much, and therefore she loved much. And she wasn't concerned about how it was going to come across to other people. What were other people going to think? What were other people going to say? She was just pouring out her love on Jesus. She wasn't saying, oh gosh, I can't do that, I might cry. She was crying so much that she could wash Jesus' feet with her tears. She wasn't saying, well, I've got to maintain my dignity. She'd lost her dignity a long time ago. All she was concerned about was loving on him. And she's wiping his feet with her hair and kissing his feet over and over and pouring this valuable perfume on his feet, because the best, most valuable thing that she had treasured is just something for his feet. Okay? Wow. Is that the way you feel? If it's not, ask him to change your heart. Ask him to make you concerned about how to love him better, not about what everybody else is going to think. Because I'll tell you something. Either you love him or you don't. And if you don't love him, it's a pretty good indication that you still need to be forgiven. Ask him for mercy. Ask him for grace. Recognize your sin. Confess your sin. And you'll find he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And so he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would save us, that we might go in peace, that we might rejoice in what you have done, trusting in your grace alone for our salvation. Not our works, not what we've done for you. Grant that we would do for you what you desire, because you have already saved us. And so we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.